Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. We are your hosts, I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Hi guys, welcome back. This is episode 210. 210, everybody.
Wow.
Yes, man.
Every time and you I'm say sure the number in the beginning, I'm like, damn, we really have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're missing some. I think we stopped counting or we skipped some counting or some number. So I'm pretty, and then we do Las Platicas. So that goes, I'm pretty sure we're in the 300s, but it's fine. 210 is good for now. We'll be consistent with this course of action here.
Yeah.
So, it was Valentine's not too long ago. Kristen, what did you do for Valentine's?
I've shared with you both multiple times that food is my love language. So yeah. Eddie took me out on a food tour of the South Bay. We started with Shabu Shabu for lunch, where it was all you can eat Shabu Shabu. And if you don't know what Shabu Shabu is, it is a like hot pot, Japanese hot pot. And it's my favorite food in the entire world. And it was so good. And I, all you can eat, I did. And then I had Sapporo, some beers with my lunch. Sometimes I don't drink any liquid because I want to save room for the meat, but it was a special occasion. So we had that. And then he took me to a little cupcake place that instead of cupcakes, they're bundt cakes. And I think it's called... Nothing Bundt Cake. I can't remember now what it's called, but anyway,
I don't know which place you're talking about.
They're so like, good, yeah. So yummy, so moist, and there were two little buntlet. So they have like the teeny little ones, and then they have a like a single serving, and then they have the big like a cake size, and they had two different pre-set up. Like flavor profiles of the buntlets, and the one that I chose they ran out of, and to kind of make up for that, they gave us two free of the big ones. So we got like $14 worth of free stuff because we paid for one, but then that one wasn't available. And they're like, it's 60 cents difference. Do you want your 60 cents back or do you just want a free cake? And I'm like, oh, I'll take the free cake. And she's like, well, he needs one too. I'm like, okay. So we got free cake.
Valentine's Day.
Then we went to the sex store and walked around, and I stroked all the paraphernalia and asked questions, and we bought some sexy time stuff, and then we went to Smog City, and Smog City had some special Valentine's Day seltzer and Saison beer that was very deep crimson red, especially for Valentine's Day. And we each tried one of each of those and had nachos. But I was mentioning earlier that nachos were a big disappointment, and it's partly my fault because I should know that if, before I order nachos and commit, I should ask, is this nacho cheese or is it real cheese on the nachos? And I didn't ask, and it was nacho cheese, and it was a little bit of a disappointment. So, but all in all, I did all that, and I think we were home by 7:30 with full tummies.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Still, like, that's, that was a lot. Like, you guys started, like, in the morning?
I think our lunch reservation was actually 1:30.
Oh, okay. In the afternoon.
So.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good.
Oh, and I did start off my day running 6 miles because I knew that we were going to be going to lunch. So I was like, okay, at least I got my miles in. So it was kind of a long day.
Nice.
How about you guys?
What about you, Jen?
For me, actually, I mean, I'm not in any serious. Yeah, I'm not in any serious relationship. So I am a coworker friend. Her boyfriend is in Idaho, and she's actually going to go see him this weekend. But we were just a, like, friend date. So we went out. There's a casino really, really close to the airport. And she told me like they actually have like a pretty decent restaurant, and we made it there in time for like not only like their happy hour but also kind of like the special drinks. So they had like $6 Mai Tais, $6 like Capri Cal or Choppy Cali Breeze or something like that. It just had a lot of like Reposado tequila. And I was just all like, So, and the both of us, it came out to less than $35.
Oh my gosh. What? Yeah, that's amazing.
So, I was honestly astounded. Like the both of us were like, we like even did it. I'm just like, did she miss something? And like, no, like, we had wings and then we had like mozzarella sticks. We had a couple of drinks. We had like some food. Like, I was just like, damn, I'm gonna need a good, we're like,
those are the kind of happy hours that I love.
Yeah, so because we get off of work pretty early, like, or since we go in early, we get out early. Mm-hmm. That was perfect, and so I was like, "All right, I'm down to do this again next week." So we might go again next week. Cheap alcohol nice. And cheap food. What more can I ask for?
Yeah,
so
nice.
That is great. That's cool. Well, I was working. I went to work in early, so. Then I had to go to the post office, and then I got hungry and I was like, I don't want to eat beans anymore. Because I, if you do not know, I have been eating beans for 2 weeks. I make a big pot and then I just eat beans like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I mean, I don't just eat the beans. I mean, I eat beans with like chorizo or beans with eggs or beans with queso, you know, like, so it's not just the beans. But anyway, I was hungry and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of beans. So I went across the street from the post office in Old Torrance and I ended up at Keegan's. Mm-hmm. I had a Cali Squeeze beer, and I mean, I was hungry, but honestly, like, I can't eat a full meal, and I really didn't want a burger, so I just ordered, like, an appetizer. It's, like, these black bean rolls or something.
You still have beans.
Oh, my God.
You tried it. She's so oblivious. She didn't even know she had beans until you pointed it out.
Yeah, and then it came with a little salad, and it was pretty good. And I had 2 beers, and then I decided to kind of walk it off and drink water because I had to drive home. So I walked around, and I ended up in a antique store, and I found a gift for my husband. So,
oh, cool.
He just got home today, which is the 16th, so he got his Valentine's. We don't gift each other anything, but it just was just perfect because I knew he would like it. So, and I bought myself some earrings for $5. So
nice.
Yeah. They're clip-on, which is a whole new thing for me because my ears are pierced. Mm-hmm. But I think those are going to be my in-the-car emergency earrings, because sometimes I'll forget to put earrings on and then I'll end up going to, I don't know, work or, you know, somewhere. And then I'll just clip them on and that way my ears don't look naked. But I have a pair of emergency earrings in the car. But sometimes I wear them out of the car and then I forget to put them back in the car. So these are going to be my emergency earrings.
My ears have been naked since like 1995.
You know what is weird? I feel that my earlobe is kind of chubby.
Uh-huh.
And so they, like, if I don't have earrings on, they kind of pop out. That's how I feel.
Oh, this is mine are kind of like that as well. But
That's good. Don't.
Yeah, don't pay attention. It is a weird.
Because then you'll see it all the time.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to be self-conscious about. But it's like once I realized, I was just like, oh, I don't like that. I've noticed this about my body.
Yeah. So then you can't unnotice it.
Yeah.
Although,
and even when I squeeze them, chubby.
Yeah. They're like round, and I'm like, why are you round? Like. Not like round, like rounded ears, but like round this way. Like, I'm just, I don't know. But on the plus side, what I did, I got my ears pierced. I don't know if I told you guys this on the...
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. I probably told you like in person, but I got them pierced and the piercer said, Jose, like, you have really nice ears for multiple piercings. And I was like, thank you. You have unintentionally made me feel better about my ears.
That is such a cool thing, man. That's really, you have no idea when somebody compliments you on something so random and it's something that you've been thinking about your whole life. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the weight has been lifted.
Yeah.
So
you know what this means, Sarah? That's how I feel. Get more piercings.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that because when I clip them higher and they sit better on my ear. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking maybe if I get a higher piercing, then the earrings will sit better and they won't kind of anyway, it's a whole in my head thing. It's not really real. It's just my head messing with me.
Yeah. We all get like that. Just girl things.
All right, guys, now it's time for Chisme de la Semana. And I got some chisme and it's some sad chisme. I'm not really happy about this.
Oh, no.
So it turns out Hulu has canceled the third season of This Fool.
Yes, I just saw that. I was so mad. I just restarted watching it.
Is this the one about the guy who gets out of prison like 20 years later? He's just like, what the fuck is all this new stuff?
No, this is about Julio Lopez, who's like a 30-year-old guy who, like, I guess he like likes Morrissey and stuff like that. But he's 30 years old, still living at home, and he works at a gang rehab center. And his cousin is the one who gets out of prison.
Oh, okay.
And then he ends up staying with them, and it's just the dynamic was hilarious.
Oh, okay.
It was just really funny. The second season kind of focused on them trying to open up a bakery shop and with the coffee shop with bakery goods. And then there was a rival shop that opened as well. And it was just hilarious. it was just so funny. I can't believe they're saying that they didn't reach a big enough audience for them to actually justify the third season. So I'm kind of disappointed. That's my chisme. It's a really funny show. If you guys haven't seen it, please do. I know I mentioned it in another episode about how funny it was. And then there's another show that I actually discovered, but that's on a whole different platform. And that platform has commercials. But next time I will be sure to recommend that because that one's also funny. And we need to support these shows because they're like, they just canceled This Fool.
Yeah.
And I told everybody about this show. Like, I'm very sad to see it go. So that is my chisme, as sad as it is.
That's, yeah. Bummer.
Now it's time for On My Radar. Kristen, what is on your radar?
So On My Radar today is a book that dropped this week, and I'm really excited to read it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet because in the last couple of episodes, I've been paying for digital copies, and I noticed that Image has their digital access not to be live until the week after the actual physical copy drops. So though this book was out yesterday, I could only quote unquote pre-order the digital to be released next Wednesday. So anyhow, this just came on my radar and I'm really excited about it because there's kind of some history here, but I'm talking about Creepshow. So if you have been following this anthology series, it's an anthology series that comes out every month, and there are different short stories inside the book. And actually, our friend Henry Barajas got nominated for some awards for his story in the episode of Creepshow that he actually had a story in. And when he was a guest and signing books at our shop, that book that we had some copies of in our back issue sold. That was the book that sold out the fastest. People really had really excitement around that particular book. But the reason why this particular issue of Creepshow is on my radar is that it is a one-shot. It's not multiple stories like the previous ones have been. Ooh. It's a one-shot with a story written by Joe Hill. So if you don't know, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, and he writes under that name, and started his career under that name to kind of get out from underneath the shadows of his dad, and also to try to, you know, kind of build his own reputation and way in the industry so as to not be seen as a Nepo baby, I'm guessing. But this particular Creepshow is called Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. And the reason why it caught my eye and I got excited about it is, of course, if you don't know, the original Creepshow was written by his father, Stephen King, which was a book that was based on the movie that came out in 1982. Jen wasn't even born then.
My God.
But 1982 is when the movie and the book came out. And I remember seeing the movie and being so creeped out, but also just like in a really fun, exciting, cool way. And I think it was like one of my first introductions at an age where I could appreciate it. Like when I was a little bit younger, things like Twilight Zone and Outer Limits used to creep me the F out. But also, again, kind of like an intriguing way, but the Creepshow movie really, I think, was the beginning of my appreciation for that kind of anthology storytelling. Go ahead.
Side note, my brother and I still quote Creepshow on a regular basis. Where's my cake, Bedelia? And then the other one is, I could keep my head. But it was, anyway, and another side note is that Creepshow was the very first comic book I ever owned. Like my first actual comic book. I bought it for 10 cents at a yard sale, and I read it over and over again. And I am that person. I know. I wish I still had it. I am that person Eddie hates because I wrote my name on the Creepshow comic. And you know how, well, my name is Sarah, so you know back in the 80s, the S would do a thunderbolt.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm dating myself. Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That's I was hilarious. That person.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was perfectly in my mind's eye.
Was the original Creepshow also Thanks for the Ride, Lady? Was it that one too? Or no?
No. I don't know.
Well, I remember it was another like anthology series. Maybe it was the original Twilight Zone. Anyway.
Oh, yes, it was a Twilight Zone. It was Going My Way.
No, it was Creepshow.
I don't remember.
It's Creepshow.
It was Creepshow?
Hitchhiker. Thanks for the ride, lady. Yep.
Yeah. I quote that one.
That's right. Yes. Okay.
Thanks for the ride, lady. So this one shot is actually based on a short story that Joe Hill had done in the past. And so this story tells of a terrifying tale of a businessman whose commute is about to get a lot hairier, get it hairier, when his train makes an unexpected stop at Wolverton Station. And if you look at some of the variant covers, they both have like werewolves on the cover. So the other cool thing about this is it was a very well-known acclaimed short story by him, but this is an expanded format of the story with new twists and turns. So if you are a fan of this story, don't be like, oh, you know, I'm not gonna waste my time or money. I already know that story. First of all, you get visuals here with the comic, but second of all, there are changes to the story and additions to this expanded format of this story. So that is what is on my radar. Creepshow, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station one shot.
All right, guys, now it's time for La hora de la cervecita. Yes! Yay! We are drinking. What are we drinking today? We're drinking something from Owl Farm.
Oh, I've never heard of that brewery before.
Unique Fermentations Cucumber Tajin Ghost. It's 5.7% ABV. And what does it say on the can in the back?
It says Ghost, pronounced Goza. So
Goza. Goza. Ooh, it's sort of like the Ghostbusters. I'm Gozer. Or what is his name? I forgot. Are you a god? Gozar. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue. I'm remember. Sorry. You guys.
I just remember Zool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Zool.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you're trying to remember? Zool?
Yes. Zool. Okay. Zool. Yes.
So Goza is a beer style that originated in Goslar, Germany. It's usually brewed with a high percentage of wheat, dominant flavors, and a Goza in wait. Dominant flavors. In a Goza include a lumen. Okay. I'm going to have to write a very angry letter about this, this sentence writer in the back of the can, because there are no periods. There's no punctuation. I don't know where the sentence begins and ends. But it says, Goza include a lemon-like sourness and a strong saltiness. Cucumber Tajin Goza is a kettle sour beer fermented with fresh cucumber juice and flavored with Mexican seasoning tajin for a slight kick at the finish. Oh my gosh, my mouth is watering as I'm reading this can. This unique combination of flavors make for an extremely refreshing summertime crusher. So seriously, I already knew it was going to be sour when I took it out and I saw it was a Goza. I've always pronounced it Ghost. So now I learned something new today. But reading that makes me very worried at how sour it's going to be.
Goza.
So, it smells sour.
I'm not fancy. I'm going to drink it out of the can. And I, but it smells good. It smells good.
I like that.
Can I see the color, Jen?
Yes.
It's pretty clear.
It is very clear.
It looks like ginger ale. I only know because I've been drinking ginger ale like crazy when I was sick over the weekend.
Yeah, you can kind of see my fingers through it.
Oh my gosh.
I probably do.
I'm very surprised. Oh, can you taste it in the beer though?
I can.
Can you taste the tajin?
At the back. Yeah. At the back of the.
It's like, yeah.
I'm surprised at, it's not as sour as I thought it was going to be. And I'm surprised at how crisp and clean the cucumber flavor is.
Yes, because you know when you leave the cucumber with lemon juice for too long, it gets soggy. But this is so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. I love the artwork for
this too.
That's
actually pretty good.
I kind of did a close up of it, but let me show it again. It's the cucumber.
Oh yeah,
on itself. Cute.
The cucumber is putting tajin on itself.
You know what? Initially, when I decided to review this beer today. I thought, well, you know, spring is coming. It's refreshing. It's kind of like in kind of season kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I was really scared because I thought it was going to be like really disappointing, honestly. Because before when people have said that they have a cucumber taste in their beer, it doesn't translate very well. But this was very surprisingly crisp.
Yes. What was it that I drank? Excuse me. It was a Mexican style lager.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't cucumber, I don't think, but it was supposed to have like tajin or mango? Lemon, or I don't know what it was that it was supposed
was
to
it
have.
The George Lopez? The George Lopez
remember.
One?
I don't or remember, but I just remember. I think it was Trejo's.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. It wasn't good.
And I was not a fan. Yeah. Mm. So whenever I see Mexican lager, I stay away from it because I'm like,
oh,
no.
Absolutely.
Like, I will, yes. I'll get a lager and I'll put the tajin and I'll do the lemon myself, but don't put it in the beer. That's like, it never turns out right for me.
But this one's surprisingly delicious, honestly. Like I said, I really wasn't expecting it to be this crisp and delicious. And it's actually been in the refrigerator for, I think, over 2 months.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. That's
it's still pretty messy.
No, yeah, because it is really, yeah, it's not super carbonated. It has carbonation. But I really like the crispness of the... the cucumber. I was gonna say it in Spanish. The cucumber flavor plus the little back taste, like the aftertaste of the tajin. Mm-hmm. And it's not as sour as I thought it was gonna be. So I'm pretty pleasantly surprised. What about you guys?
I echo everything you said. I was worried that it was going to be super sour, and also didn't quite know how the cucumber flavor was going to translate in a beer, because that is the, I mean, you see it's in big words, cucumber. And like, usually cucumber is just kind of like a side note or like a hint of, but it's like the main thing here, and I was a little bit worried, but I really liked it a lot, and I like cucumber, so that wasn't a problem. But definitely think that I'm pleasantly surprised. I did not think I was gonna like this at all.
You know what I'm thinking too? You know how like some of the beers we've reviewed, one of the highlights we think of is that it can make a great beer cocktail. I think this could make a really great Michelada beer. Like, I think it would just kind of, I wouldn't say elevate it because it's already pretty up there, but I think it could complement it in such a way.
Yeah.
Where's Owl Farm located?
I am really surprised.
No idea.
This is also, it's a 5.7.
Vista.
Yeah.
ABV. So pretty decent. I mean, I don't really know. I think we've had Gozes. A couple of times on here, and most of the times I'm like, ew, yucky, nasty. Is and also like to most sours, but this is really, really good. I'm honestly surprised. It's very, very tasty, very crisp, very refreshing. It tastes exactly like the cucumber limon tajin snack. So that's really good. Mm-hmm. Also, I had pollo loco earlier. And that taste was still in my mouth. So, like, washing it down with this, ugh, feel like I'm at a carne asada.
Oh, my God, right? With the carne asada? Ooh. Ugh. I don't know where Owl Farm is. I'm looking at it, and it just says
it says Vista.
It just talks about...
It says Vista.
Vista, California? Oh, okay. Yes, Vista, California.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay.
No. I don't know where Vista. That is. But
it's like Northern California.
Oh, I see. So this one I got at BevMo. So it looks like it may be like you could probably find it at a BevMo. I wouldn't say like Target, no, but definitely like maybe more of the bigger alcohol establishments. You can probably find this. And it looks like they have several different ones. So this is the cucumber. Yeah. And then I think they have... mango, some raspberries with blueberries, and then they have a watermelon, and then this last one I believe is grapes.
Ooh. Yeah.
So I'd be interested to taste all of those. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So are we ready to actually rate it? What is our rating scale, Kristen? Damn, no,
so
I want some carne asada.
Our rating scale. Our rating scale is a 5-point scale. Where one is very unsatisfied, 2 out of 5 is unsatisfied, just normally unsatisfied. A 3 out of 5 is just a neutral. A 4 out of 5 is satisfied. And a 5 out of 5 is very satisfied. And if we find a beer that is off the charts, it is a Super Saiyan. So I'll go ahead and start, and I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I am satisfied. I would definitely buy it again. I would enjoy it during the summertime. Very cool and crisp and clean, and very cucumbery. I really enjoyed it a lot.
This is Sarah, and I'm also going to give it a very satisfied. I would definitely make my michelada with this. I would have a carne asada with this. I would maybe serve it in a glass and with the rim of tajin and a cucumber inside. I'm ready for that. What about you, Jen?
You know what? I think I'm going to give this a Super Saiyan.
What? Oh my gosh.
That is news to us, because Jen rarely gives Super Saiyans. Yeah.
Not only that, I'm like, I've already poured the rest of the can in. I'm already more than halfway through this thing. It is so delicious to me. And each time I keep drinking it, I keep getting that tahin and like kind of that sour, limey, citrusy goodness. And I'm just like, oh, I want it so bad. also, I'm looking at their website, and apparently they're going to be coming out with Joyride Berliner Weiss. Is that how that's it? Which is made with dragon fruit, passion fruit, and lychee. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm but it's only...
When is it coming out?
It just says coming soon, a limited release. Okay. And they only... It seems like they're only stocking in Los Angeles. Because I'm looking, can I get more of these? And it's only in SoCal, so who knows? Maybe.
I'm gonna keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, keep an eye out for
if
it.
If I see it, I'm gonna definitely buy us some, and so we could drink it.
Buy us some, and then tell me if you find it, and I will give you money to buy me a whole pack.
Nice.
But
definitely
yeah, keep an eye out. Really like how this tastes. I'm honestly, and I think that's why I'm giving it a Super Saiyan, because I'm honestly surprised by how much I like this, especially for it being a sour. So if you're not usually a fan of sours, try this one, because it's really, really, really good. And so I'm giving it a Super Saiyan.
Wow, that has been our beer review. Now it's time for our book review. What are we reviewing today, Kristen?
So today we are reviewing The Woman from Afro. And I have a physical copy of it because, and I think, Sarah, you also met the creator, or at least the creator's wife, I don't remember, at Long Beach Comic Con last year.
Yes.
And... Mm-hmm. This is written and created by Anthony Jefferson, and I believe this is his first comic. And we are highlighting it this episode 210 because we are still in the middle of February, which is Black History Month. And Jeffrey, and I don't know about the rest of the creative team, but I do know Jeffrey is a Black man. And when I opened it up, I'm like, oh my God, I got a put this in bag and board and keep it, because I happen to have number 1 of 250 of this first edition. Yes.
Oh my God, that is so cool.
Congratulations.
Did he sign it?
No, because he wasn't at the table when I bought it. I only spoke to the wife. And I, so this picture here was on a big, banner behind the table, and the art caught my eye from across the convention floor. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And so as I approached, I was asking questions, and I assumed that it was the woman behind the table who was the creator. And you know, we were having a conversation, and I don't remember, I think maybe I said, oh, is this your first comic? And she was like, oh no, I'm not the writer, my husband. So I was like, not gonna lie, I'm like, darn it, I thought it was a woman creator. But nonetheless, I was intrigued just based on their her explanation and her, you know, description of what the story is about, and then also just the art. The art was just a huge reason why I bought this book. And then I happened to be on a panel that day that was specifically about retailing, and Anthony Jefferson came to that panel and introduced himself to me in person, and then I think he might actually have given me another copy because I mentioned that I did a podcast and we would be interested in reading it. Who knows where that one is? I barely found this one today because I was having to clean my room. but anyhow, it gave me a little bit of information in the back. This isn't a description of what the book is, but it kind of gives you an explanation of where the title comes from. So it's called The Woman from Afro. And in the back, it says Afro. And that stands for All Female Revolutionary Organization. So what we learn about here is that Afro began during the mid-70s as a support group started by the widows and wives of deceased or incarcerated Panthers and civil rights activists. Just some women meeting once a week and sharing their stories over coffee. Due to their reputation as well as their regular meeting place and time, members of the community began showing up and seeking their help with various matters. The women, being who they were, found they couldn't do nothing, and so they helped where they could. In doing so, they discovered that they were extremely effective at getting things done. Things came to a fine point when one of the women jokingly referred to the group as the All-Female Revolutionary Organization, and the name stuck and Afro was born. So I thought that was super cool, and a bit of history of the civil rights movement back in the 70s, where a little bit more of the Panther and militant action stuff started happening. And we do know from the book that we read, Black Panther Party, that a lot of social services in schools were started by the Panthers, and probably more likely by these women in Afro. So I thought that was super cool. And it actually, we don't get a lot of the where the main character kind of connects to Afro. We don't really get a lot of information about Afro in this first issue. We are basically just introduced to this amazing character here, who is drawn impeccably. She is showing up at a, looks like a very high class evening, event, where she has been hired as the private, security guard for one of the high profile, attendees of this event, who, as, you will find out, does not want to have anything to do with her because doesn't feel like, he's in danger and that he feels like he can take care of himself. So we kind of get a feel for who, she is as a character. And actually, what is her name? Do we have
Stella?
Stella Ray
Stella.
Simone.
Stella. Stella Ray Simone. Yes. That sounds sexy. and we also, I love it when characters have their like tech people behind them. Mm-hmm. Well, not literally behind them, but you know, like somewhere in a room
in the
where
ear.
They're looking at a computer, and they can see everything and hear everything and kind of are giving intel in the background. And there's another woman that is doing that and is playing that role for Stella. So we learn that Stella definitely can take care of herself. And what I am hoping in future issues, and hopefully the second issue, is that we learn what Afro is in this world, and how Stella has been either recruited or how she's part of it. Because, I mean, it's Woman from Afro, but I didn't really get a lot of information about who or what Afro was in this first issue. What about you guys?
Yes, I actually, like you said, the artwork is amazing. The illustrator is Ednardo Alves. Ednardo Alves. I don't know where he's from. I didn't look it up. Sorry. But he's done a hell of a job contemplating the story. There's definitely a lot of action, a lot of like fight scenes, which I thought were really amazing. And as far as the story goes, I really, really enjoying it. I really want to know more about Stella and how she got involved with Afro, and about the other agent that is feeding her all the information via a little kind of sound piece in her ear. But Stella, she's badass. She is really taking some names and, how do you say it? Kicking butt and taking names. So she's there protecting Keith Washington, who apparently is solving global warming. So
right,
I'm not sure why everybody's trying to kill him. I mean, that's a real problem. We really need to solve it. But anyway, Keith is just like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't need your help, blah, blah, blah. And she's out here schmoozing with other people. She meets this guy named Jack, and he's like, he has a card that says Adventure Travel Guide. And then it says, excuse me, it says Chicago International Adventure. And then it, if you take those words, the initials are CIA. So basically he has a card saying that he's from the CIA, which I thought was really cute in the story. Then we have other mercenaries, other agents are at this location, and we don't know what the end game is yet. All we know is that they're trying to get a hold of Keith, and then Stella is fighting them off, which is really cool. And that, like, the action sequence are super cool. The art is amazing. I really particularly like the art because there's some areas where he did the shading when you see like a real close-up of Stella, and he did some shading in a way that he used color to create kind of a glistening of her dark skin, which I found really profound and beautiful. And then he also takes kind of like from the old comic book style with the little dots and the kind of little checkered kind of patterns to create depth within like a scene. So it's almost like when you focus with your camera, you know how you touch the screen to focus on the figure and then the background gets a little fuzzy? He creates that, but with the dots and with the checkers. So it's really kind of impressive how his style is really kind of really creates kind of like a really a depth and dimension within these panels. I thought that was great. I really liked how when he drew Keith with his glasses, the actual tint in the glasses is blue. And you would think that would look weird, but it actually really works. It's just, I think the actual artist and the writer really worked really hard on this comic, because it shows just in the execution itself. It's just really amazing. I found it really, and I can't wait to read more about it. The action sequences I thought were really great, and the outfits, very cool. So overall, I'm so excited to see. I'm glad that he had that back matter, because I wanted to know a little bit more about kind of the origin. And so we have that, but also I want to know more about Stella herself and about these other people, these other kind of mercenaries, agents, because she actually recognized them at this party. So there's actual history there. So I want to know more about that too. So
the thing is that obviously we're not taking place in the 70s because of the technology and global warming and all of the themes that are here. So while I appreciated the back matter, I want to know, like, if you're going to put that in there, I want to know how that connects to the story that I'm reading. And I didn't get that at all. And what the freak is Afro? Like, if you're going to name that the title of your book, I want to know about it in the first issue. Like, it should have been titled Kick-Ass Stella, if we want to go that route. And just An aside, Ednardo Alves is Brazilian. So, okay. And he's super, super talented when it comes to the art. But let me tell you, he also did the lettering, and I have some words to say about that. But Jen, I'll let you talk about what you think.
You know, and it must be different because I'm sorry to cut you off, because we have the PDF, which is what Jen and I read, and I didn't find any issues with the lettering. But we'll come back to that in a minute. Go ahead, Jen.
So I think you guys are confusing the back matter for like actual history. The Afro is like, that is like what it is in this universe. That's how it started. Like, that's where it's saying that Afro originated. And then it became like a covert, like espionage, kind of like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. Like, maybe yes. Government sponsored. We don't really know that yet, but I don't think there was actually like, in real life.
Oh no, I Googled it and It did come up that there was a faction of women that.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah. They were active back in the 70s. Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, they took that kind of part of history and kind of implemented in this story.
Oh, okay, for sure.
But yeah, that's what I got.
I'm guessing because nobody told me that.
I kind of got that sense. I did.
How?
I didn't. I was reading it and I took it all as fictional. As like, I read the back matter as like, okay, like this is like kind of like the backstory of this organization in this world. But that's cool to know that there was like an actual real one. I actually found the original Kickstarter page for this book. It was originally Kickstarted. And they met their goal, of course. But the Kickstarter actually gives us a little bit more info as well about where they want to take these series.
Nice.
As well as, it says right here, Stella's adventure will take her from Chicago to Cairo to Addis Ababa and deep into Uganda's countryside, telling a story that is at once familiar and, we'd like to think, wholly unique. Stella isn't anyone's sidekick or femme fatale. She's a badass secret agent as sophisticated as she is deadly. And then the same thing that we read about Afro in the back of the book is also on here as well. I really, really like the book. It's very like, and I already mentioned it, it's very like Man from U.N.C.L.E. meets James Bond meets blaxploitation films. All of that combined into this, like, really actually pretty juicy story that you can kind of, like, dig your teeth into. Because if anything, the conversation that we're having about, like, wait, is this real? Like, what's going on here? Like the questions that it, like, brings up, but also still managing to form a very coherent storyline as well, especially for an issue number one, is so well done. It's so well thought out. And it, like, they're right. It does feel familiar because as I was reading it, I was just like, this is Man from U.N.C.L.E., but like this is Man from U.N.C.L.E. with a hot black lady. I was just like, this is awesome. But then as I was reading it more, I was just like, it feels kind of James Bondy as well. So I really, really enjoyed it for what it is. And I do want to read more, especially from that on the Kickstarter page that I saw that she's going to go from Chicago to Cairo and then to these all other places that we don't really get to see a lot in popular media if it isn't in a bad lighting. So they kind of sort of give like some preview pages for the next issue. It looks really interesting, definitely. And I want to know more as well. They have a website called frolife.com. Here's the thing is that it's definitely like they're building a brand.
Yes.
Like kind of like also like and like we kind of know a bit from Shiro Comics as well.
Yes.
Raven Choi and like also like the really cool artwork and stickers and stuff like that that she sells. Like she's making games and stuff like that. She's really doing something amazing. But they're kind of doing the same thing here, but it's its own unique take. And this is like kind of, they're calling it Fro Life, which is like, you know, about like having Afros and like how to like keep and maintain them or sort of. But it's really, really cool. And like the artwork is amazing. the website is pretty amazing too. And the book is still available to purchase on their website as well. But honestly, like, this book is really, really good. And I cannot wait for an issue number two. And whenever they, if they decide to kickstart that again, honestly, when I was looking at the Kickstarter, I was really surprised by how little they were asking for. Not even little. $2,500 is still a significant amount of money, especially for, like, if you're trying to, like, get a book out as well. But there have been Kickstarters where we've seen people ask for $5,000, $10,000, hell, even more for a comic book series. And the fact that this is still available to purchase, and when it met its goal, but I feel like they can definitely ask for more for an issue too, and it'll, like, definitely meet it, because it is an amazing book. I think it's very well written. I think it's very well laid out. And I love, love, love the artwork. It's, I'm 100% invested in this, because I love spy films, and this is reading like a spy film.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. So as a kid in elementary all the way through junior high, if you were to ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would tell you a double agent. Like, that's like, not just a spy. I want to be a double agent.
A double
spy. Don't ask me why.
A spy, but, a spy for spies.
But I am a sucker also for, you know, spy stories, and the fact that it is a kick-ass woman, I absolutely love. I love the art. But please, for the love that is all, for the love of all that is good and holy, in your next Kickstarter, include a little bit more, like Jen said, and hire yourself an editor. Because I have to tell you that multiple times there were grammar issues. There were there was a spot where there was a not a space where there should have been a space. There was some lettering issues where the way that it was placed in the word bubble made it difficult to actually comprehend what was being said. I had to reread it a couple of times. There was one word bubble where the same word appeared twice. Obviously, in this first page, the thing that is missing is an editor. I will never stop touting the importance of you having a freaking editor on your book.
Or at least
this is your first book.
Yeah.
This is your first book. You have a responsibility of getting people interested in your book to continue to read. And I think that the art did that, and also the storyline did that. I agree with you both. But every time that there was a grammatical error or a lettering issue or a word that should have, that was there that shouldn't have been there, it took me out of the story. And I am such a stickler for that stuff. And it was really annoying. So please have an editor on your second book, and have, I mean, there was one, two, three people, four people. Well, the cover artist still is a fourth person involved here. I mean, Eddie has me read and edit his books in the past. Sometimes he's had other people do it, but for the love of all that is good, have somebody do it. Like, it should, this is a very, very professional looking book, but, and you know what? I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen in the bigger publishing companies, because I was just complaining about this yesterday. I see it happen with Marvel. I see it happen in DC. And it is so, especially at that level, annoying to see it when you're reading a comic book. So I really, 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 really cannot drive that point home enough, that you want to make sure that your readers stay engrossed in your story. So that is all.
Let me tell you, spell check is not enough.
No.
Spell check.
No.
Spell check, Grammarly, it's not enough. Whatever you use, Hemingway, Evernote, I don't care what it is not enough. Nothing beats having someone, an editor, a proofreader, or just even another set of eyes, someone who doesn't have any experience, mm-hmm. but can at least know or understand human language. And can, like, is a pretty good reader. They can tell you when there's something wrong, or there's, like, something that's oddly paced. So I do think I agree with you. Like, I think all, and I would be a hypocrite to say that I didn't notice it either. I did. I just wanted to focus on the good because I really liked it.
But you bring up a good point. Yeah. Editors are not just proofreaders. They are editing the entire impact of the story. Mm-hmm. They are making sure that whatever you referenced on page 5 makes sense because the page it you referenced it on, mm-hmm. actually the pictures are, you know, relaying the part of the story that you want to say, and it goes along with the words that are there, or that the pacing is on point, or that something is just not quite getting across to the reader the way that maybe they think you intended it to. So editors are so, so important. And I understand that a good editor definitely does cost money. So please make it a point in your fundraising to include that.
I wonder... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder if like students would welcome like freelance work like that for
yes.
more
I can tell you right now, yes.
Exactly. So I think we're actually ready to rate the comic book. What is our rating scale?
So our rating scale is on a scale of 1 to 3 conchas. 3 conchas being the most conchas that Jen's mom ever let her eat in one sitting at the table. So, of course, that was the best. But if a book happens to not fit on our 3 concha scale, then we do have some surprises for those as well. So I'm going to go ahead and start. This is... I'll say this is Kristen, but now visually you can see me. My name is right there. and I'm going to give it 2 conchas. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the art, but make me give it 3 with issue 2.
This is Sarah, and I agree with Kristen. I absolutely love the story, the direction it's going in. I love the characters. I love the pacing of it. But I do want a little bit more information. And yes, I'd like to see more about the character development in issue 2. And the, of course, maybe taking consideration the editor suggestion. But the artwork is amazing. And I think it's doing a really great job of combining the art with the storytelling. And it's just really amazing. It's blowing my mind. So I'm going to give it 2 conchas. And I'm really ready to give it 3. I just really want to know more about the characters in issue 2. What about you, Jen?
I'm going to give it 2 conchas as well. I really enjoyed it as I was reading it. I really want issue number 2 as well because there were some minor issues. And I did like the artwork, but definitely do agree. Invest in an editor. They will make your life so much easier. And it will put some of the pressure off of you to constantly be checking your work as well. Just let it go.
Also,
you know, it's hard for us to let go. Go ahead.
I'll say also, from a retailer perspective, one of the things that Eddie and I completely get frustrated about, and I just noticed it on this book, there is no cover price. If you only plan on going and taking your books and going from convention to convention, then obviously that's not an issue. But if you want to see your book in a store, please put a cover price on it. And I understand as a creator, a lot of pushback that I get from them is, oh, I don't want to put a cover price because at different conventions, I charge different prices, or I want to be able to slash, you know, and give a sale or whatever. You can do all of that when you put a cover price, because what happens is that I'll buy it and I'll put it in my store, and then 50 million times I'll get a text message or whatever. It's like, how much is this? How much is this? I don't know. I bought that 2 months ago. I don't remember. So put a cover price, please.
Yeah. And not only that, like, I think you're going to want to bag and board the comic as well. So you can put the half off or whatever sticker on it.
Yes.
Or like, mm-hmm. I think it could be said also like, oh, just bag and board it and I'll put the crap price on top of it. No. No. So put the price on it. Also, you're not doing anything that the other, like, that even indie, other indie comics are doing as well. Like, oh my God, why did I just blank on their name?
Comadres y Comics.
Yeah, us. Yeah, we're indie publishers.
Fanbase.
Yeah, Fanbase. But also like Image or Dark Horse or any of those mm-hmm. other ones. Like they just slap a price on there, put it $4.99, $5.99, and be like, or be like $4.99, then price it up to $9.99, saying like, hey, I only have a few issues left. It works. Trust me. Trust.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too is, to be honest with you. Indie, first-time indie publishers don't have a lot of experience. They have no experience. It's their first time. And a lot of times they pay a lot more for publishing than they should because they don't know any better. So I am going to venture a guess that this was a $10 book.
Yes.
I don't remember how much I paid for it, and I can't tell you because there's no price on it. But... you see that a lot. The cardstock is really nice. The pages inside are very, very high quality. And so I'm going to guess that this was probably a pretty penny to publish. And also because they just maybe, inside it's only a 250 print run. So that's not even that much. Mm-hmm. And so I also think that it's really worth it to do your due diligence to, as a first time publisher, self-publisher, do your due diligence and reach out to other creators and ask their experience and ask for their recommendations. Because I know in speaking to indie creators over the years that they've all made the same mistakes and could have benefited from just having an open dialogue with other people who've just already done it before you. So if you're looking to publish your own comic book, definitely don't hesitate to reach out to people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? The comic book community can be super welcoming. So take advantage of being at the convention and tabling. Get to know your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Get to know the people across the way. But thank you guys for sticking with us on this book review. You can find the book at frolife.com. And you can follow them on Instagram on the Frolution. So like Afrolution, like Revolution, but Frolution. So that's T-H-E-F as in Frank, R-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. And let me tell you, I went on the Instagram and Samuel L. Jackson is wearing one of the Frolution t-shirts. And that was super awesome. I was like, oh, I want that. I want Samuel L. Jackson to wear a Comadres y Comics t-shirt. But that has been our book review. All right, guys. Now it's time for En la Librería. Jen, what do you have for us today?
So today I have The Art of Joji, Gay Illustrations. The Art of Joji, a hardcover illustration book of gay men. So this is this is being kickstarted by David Foissard. David Foissard is the CEO of French publishing company Chomington, who has published with Jerome Georgia the anthology book Egoscopic, and was nominated in 2018, 2019, and 2020 in the Best Alternative Comic category at the Angoulême Festival. He has also released Bogus Book 1 in 2019, Bogus Book 2 in 2020, and Bogus Book 3 in 2021, and has also successfully published The Art of Osets and Osets X, or it could be Osets 10, in 2021. He released The Art of Albron and Bogus Book Volume 4 in 2020, and Jean-Frédéric Cornet's iconic series Santa Frances Volume 1 in 2023. So, from the creator of Bogus Book series and the publisher of Art of Palermo, Santa Frances, and Albron, The Art of Joji is an LGBT illustration book which collects over 90 pages of art from the incredibly talented digital artist based in Thailand called Joji. In a beautiful hardcover book of approximately 8 by 11 inches, this book is for adults only. The book is bilingual, English-French, with a foreword by French artist Fabrisseau. To see more of Joji's art, check his Instagram page, and they have a hyperlink on the website. Joji is great at drawing beautiful men, but also at depicting really romantic scenes. And that's where his talent is really expressing itself. Joji knows how to draw intimate scenes full of love, with cherished little moments, and it's very easy to wish that we were one of his characters. Joji understands that gay or not, we are all human, and we all want to be close to someone, to love, and to be loved. Here are some of the romantic scenes in the book, and then they have like a 9-panel spread of, or like 9-panel pieces of like his art, and it's really, really, really nice. It's really pretty art, and they are right in the description. It looks very, very romantic and very soft, honestly. A-plus work. Joji is good at romance, but Joji is also good at drawing very sexy, hunky men. And that's the other side of Joji. Hot, muscular, bearded guys doing what they like to do. This book is also full of them. At the gym, playing sport, or simply having fun in the bedroom. And they are not shy nice. About it. Be warned, this book is also about showing beautiful men being naughty. This is a lot of full nudity in the book for adults only. And then they have it says right here, here's a quick look at the more sexy art in the book. We cannot show nudity on Kickstarter, but this will give you an insight into the content of the book. And then again, another 9-panel pics of censored art, but they're pretty hunky. They have also been elected as a project we love on Kickstarter. Oh, and there's an additional X-rated book, Joji X. If the hardcover book is not enough for you and you want some even more explicit art, then you will also be able to buy a special softcover landscape A5 book, which is approximately 6x8 inches with 54 pages of beautiful X-rated art. It's also for adults only, and you will have to trust us on this. The little book is absolute dynamite. So they have a little picture that says too hot for Kickstarter. Says, please note that Joji does his own art and does not use AI. If you missed the first two volumes of the collection, Art of Osets, Osets X, and Art of Polerno and Polerno X, you can order all of them with the Art of Joji and Joji X. To see all the books in the Shawmington collection, click here, and then they have a hyperlink to their website. And they've actually hit most of their extended goals as well. There's a one last tier. But it looks amazing. And, oh God, who is the Japanese artist that I really, really like who does kind of the same? Oh, Gengoro Tagame. The art really, really reminds me of a lot of his style, but it's more digital. If you don't know who Gengoro Tagame is, look him up. He's amazing. So you can always make a pledge without a reward, but they have actually already hit their goal of $17,214. They're currently at $61,053 with 832 backers and 16 days to go. Usually I try to like highlight like books and stuff like that, they're either close to the goal or they just like went a little bit over their goal. This one has really skyrocketed, but I'm also really, really impressed with it because I'm definitely going to kickstart it as well.
Oh, good. Because I want to look at it. I'm looking at the Kickstarter right now. And the art is amazing.
Right?
It is so nice. Mm-hmm. And I just want to sandwich myself in between all of them as they're holding each other.
Oh, oh my man. God. But yes, so you can always make a pledge without expecting a reward. You just want to show your support. But the base pledge starts at about 15 euros. I'm pretty sure that's euros. Yeah, 15 mm-hmm. euros, which is about $17. And then the next tier up is the Twin Books PDF set, which is the Joji PDF and the Joji X PDF. And that is £22 or about $24. And then the next tier up from that is the Art of Joji book set. So I think this is the the PDF and the physical book of the first, the non-X rated one, which is at £30 or about $33. Then the next tier up from that is the Art of Joji book and card set, which is 40 euros, which is about $44. Have I been saying pounds or euros this entire time?
I think you said euros at the beginning.
Okay, I've just been switching off from them. And
yeah. Well,
and then
it's foreign currency.
Yeah, foreign currency. Who freaking knows about that? No, because in my brain, I'm just like, didn't France used to use francs? But then I remembered that they don't use those anymore. And they got browbeated into doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kickstarter converts it for you anyway.
Yeah, so. It does, which is awesome.
Yes.
And then there's a couple of more tiers up as well. Definitely check it out. I think it's wonderful art. I think also, you know, like Valentine's Day and stuff like that, it's a celebration. His art is definitely, or their art is definitely a celebration of love. And it just happens to be queer love. But a lot of these, like drawings, they're so soft and sweet. I'm just all like, aw. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be in love? So the art of Joji on Kickstarter, which Joji is J-O-J-I, on Kickstarter. Check it out. Back it. It looks amazing.
All right, guys. Now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes. Krista, what do you have for us today?
So today in our Juntos y Fuertes segment, which is a segment where we highlight properties or different things that are being put out there into the world by members of marginalized communities, I have something that Professor Latinx shared this week on social media. Or was it last week? I don't remember. Time is a construct. I think it was
last week.
he has been sharing Latinx Pop Magazine. So if you go to latinxpopmag.com, you will get this amazing About Us page. And it says, "Welcome to Latinx Pop Magazine, a hub of critical exploration and vital celebration of Latinx culture in TV, film, social media, arts, literature, comic books, and video games. Passionate about growing knowledge about how pop culture by and about Latinx is in our everyday lives, the Latinx Pop Magazine editorial team curate reviews, interviews, topical podcasts, and critical thought pieces to make visible U.S. Latinx experiences and identities shaped by and reconstructed in pop culture. Latinx Pop Magazine invites you to critically engage, creatively learn, and be vitally inspired." They also have something called Latinx Pop Lab, and its mission is to establish UT Austin, which is the university that Latin Professor X is, I believe, a part of, but to establish it as a pioneering force in Latinx pop narratives spanning comic books, animation, gaming, and multimedia arts. They're dedicated to fostering intellectual exploration and innovative curation within that creative realm. So their identity is closely linked to creating communal spaces where BIPOC creatives can thrive, sharing their unique perspectives. These spaces serve as fertile ground for innovative ideas and critical discourse. Throughout the year, Latinx Pop Lab is going to host diverse events and programs focusing on nurturing the next generation of BIPOC creative thinkers and change makers. They're committed to amplifying their voices to shape a more inclusive and culturally rich world. So, like I said, Professor Latinx, who is Frederick Luis Aldama, is the founder and editor-in-chief. Erica G. Abad is the art and literature editor. Melissa Castillo Planas is the arts and literature editor as well. Then we have Laura Fernandez, who is the film and TV editor. Christina Herrera is the arts and literature editor. It's a long old list. Fernanda Diaz Bastos Basteris. Basteris is the comics editor. And it's just a long list of Latinos and Latinas who are curating and also contributing to the Latinx Pop magazine. And when you go to the website and to their menu, they have a section for comics, film, TV, internet, video games, art and literature, podcasts, and then there's a gallery of different art as well. So check it out at latinxpopmag.com.
That sounds pretty amazing. All right, guys, now it's time for saludos, and saludos is going out today to...
So saludos...
Go ahead.
Today, saludos is going out to Verissa Washington. Verissa is somebody that I met at a Phoenix comic convention that I went to last year, and she was a young teenage creator who came to the table. I think her father came to the table first and was like, hey, my daughter really is trying to make a name for herself and she has a comic. And, you know, he was talking her up like crazy. So when she came around, I was already sold. And she was a very nice, sweet young woman who basically told me all about her webcomic called Roll Out. And we actually read and reviewed that book. Or that comic, I don't remember what episode it was, but we definitely did. You can do a Google search and find it. And she reached out to us about a week or so ago, letting us know that she has a Kickstarter that she has live right now for her new book called Love Lens. And Love Lens is a new black comedy BL, so boy love comic, about finding love after a broken heart. And this is going to be her print debut. So she's only had webcomics in the past. And so the print debut of Love Lens. And in her description of this book, or in the email she sent us, she said that this is kind of a comedy and it's a little bit more lighthearted than Roll Out was, but that also you can basically tell that she has really improved in her art. And I just did a couple of, you know, panels looking at what she had in her Kickstarter, and you can definitely tell that she has grown, which is great. Like what we always say, you're not going to grow unless you just do it. Just do it. Don't worry that you think you're not good enough. You will learn, you will grow, and you will get better. So she is the perfect example of being somebody who stuck to it and who is definitely showing improvement. So this is a Kickstarter, and it is live right now. And let's see, she is... asking for $1,000, and she has already met her goal. It is already 100% funded with 14 days to go. We didn't know when this episode was going to actually be live, so we didn't want to put it in our En La Librería segment. So we're just giving a shout out if it's happened to be done by the time that this episode goes live. You can still check out her webcomic on Webtoons, and you can just do a search for Verissa W or for Roll Out, which is the name of her Webtoon. So, and there's actually new issues up. I don't know, I think they do call them episodes on Webtoons. For Roll Out, we read up to 27 and now she has 37. So, and I remember that I really enjoyed the story and the characters and the storyline development was really, really good. And so I'm looking forward to going back and reading more. So that is Love Lens issue number 1. And we're giving saludos to Verissa Washington.
Yes, oh, and you can follow.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
you can follow Verissa on Instagram at Verissa. That's V as in Victor, A Alpha, R Robert, I India, S Sam, A Alpha dot comics, plural, COMICS, Verissa dot comics on Instagram. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. And let me tell you guys, it's the first time we're going to go on a full episode on YouTube. So we're kind of excited. I'm a little nervous. Am I going to get recognized out on the street? And if I am, are you going to give me the finger or are you going to want to hug? I don't know. But anyways, I really had a good time recording this episode, knowing fully that it's going to go on YouTube. I mean, hopefully we're in the algorithm where we come across you in the streaming world. But if not, thank you so much for listening to us on the streaming platforms we are already on. Thank you so much. Without you, we couldn't be out here doing this. Thank you. Where else can they find us, Kristen?
You can find everything you ever wanted to know about Comadresy Comics at comadresycomics.com, where you can find links to all of our social media platforms and also some information about who we are and how this podcast even started. And you're watching us on YouTube, hopefully. And if you're listening, watch us on YouTube and like, subscribe, and give us some comments below so that we can know what you think.
Absolutely. And I'd be completely honored if you did leave comments, because then we could read them on the air on our next episode. Thank you so much for listening. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's on Period Network.